Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open your Bibles up to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. And while you're turning, let me just say to all of our musicians, thank you so much for the way you lead us. I was thinking that as we were singing, the Christian faith is the only world religion that puts the emphasis on music and singing like we do. Why is it we are so passionate about singing? There's something about music that God created it. It is so amazing the way it captures our emotion and allows us to express our faith as we lift our voices to the Lord. And so just in case, just to reiterate it, I was thinking this, to say this at the beginning of the message. And by the way, if I would just stay with what I have on here, I could get done. A lot of what I tell you, I don't want to blame it on the Lord, okay? But I just say things. But I was thinking there while Robert and the gang was leading us. That's the new name of our choir, the gang. I'm just kidding. Our group. I was just thinking, you know, we really believe Jesus is alive.
Amen.
We really do. This is not just a Rotary meeting. I mean, nothing about negative, you know, Rotary's got its purpose. But this is just not some organization.
Amen.
We are here because Jesus himself has changed us. And we just want to gather and worship him and look into his word. So that's what we're going to do today. Your DNA, it's all in the DNA. We've been talking about this now. This is our fourth Sunday. And we're talking about the purpose of a church. Jesus told us that we are to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're love people. And then he gave us a commission. And so we can be involved in, we can make his purpose, God's purpose, our purpose.
Amen.
It ought to be in our DNA. You know, your DNA has all the instructions for your life in every cell. And I've talked about this, but if we took enough DNA just to put it on a pinhead, it could contain the contents of books that would be stacked from the earth to the moon. You ready for this? 500 times. DNA is an amazing substance. And so your DNA affects what you look like, how you function, how you keep going. Your genes are why you look like your parents, why you heal, how you stay alive. Your DNA is a part of every cell in your body. It pervades every cell. So why are you the way you are? Well, why do you have the physical features that you have? Well, it's all in the DNA. I'm redheaded because it's in the DNA. It's just there. Now, folks, as a church, there ought to be some things that are just there. Okay? That's what we're talking about. There ought to be some things that are just there. What should be in our DNA? What should permeate every facet of our church? Well, not to take the analogy too far, but just to say this much about it. In your DNA, there are dominant genes, okay? There are some things that are dominant. And we've talked about some of those and had some fun with that. By the way, one more time, I just want to tell you, red hair is very rare. I just want you to know that. But anyway, but here are the dominant genes of a New Testament church. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Now, we're not digging into that passage because we've done that, but I want to say that the only full-fledged imperative of that passage is the phrase, make disciples. If anybody ever asks you, what is the purpose of North Central, I want you to know it, and I want us to be doing it. Somebody says, what is the purpose of North Central? You say to them, it is to make disciples of all the peoples of the world. That is what we're all about. Our purpose is to make disciples. But he gives us some dominant genes in our DNA to help us do that. And we've been talking about them. So let's review it in your listening guide on the back of your bulletin. We review our purpose, making disciples. And how do we do that? By going. That's evangelism. That's sharing on purpose. That's making it intentional that we share the gospel. And the core value is a passion for the unreached. Folks, let me tell you, Jesus said, you should leave the 99 and go after the one that's outside. There is a passion about people that need Jesus Christ, and that should be in our DNA. That should be a dominant gene of our church. The second one is baptizing. That is likened to the concept of fellowship. When we did this last week, we baptized some new believers, and those that were baptized came into the fellowship. And so baptism represents the fellowship. It's connecting on purpose. It's including people. That's what our church is all about. That's what they did to me when I was a freshman at University of Florida. I felt included. People went like this to me, and they said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Jacksonville, Florida." They said, "What are you studying?" I said, "I don't have a clue yet. I'm taking basic classes." And they extended their hand to me, and they said, "Hey, let me tell you about some things we're doing here. Let me tell you about some college events that we're having. We want you to be a part of it." This is fellowship. As a matter of fact, everyone in this auditorium is invited to lunch today. I'm taking you to lunch today. Not really. Our college ministry is sponsoring a lunch today, and we have the best of NCBC. We have amazing recipes that are going to be here because we believe in connecting. We believe in fellowship. And so the core value of that is relationships. Now, today we're talking about teaching. Teaching people to observe. And this is study or learning on purpose. And the core value is life transformation. We don't want to settle for just having meetings. Did you hear me? We don't want to settle for just having meetings. We want to see God transform lives. And we're seeing it happen. We're seeing people's lives change. Now, nobody but the most prejudiced person would deny that the Bible is a unique book. If only because after existing for centuries, it continues to be taught, it continues to be bought, it continues to be distributed and loved more than any other book that has ever been written. But its true uniqueness lies in its unity, which is the hallmark of its divine inspiration. For the Bible is not just one book, but a whole library of 39 books of the Old Testament and 27 books of the New Testament. These were written over a period of some 15 centuries by more than 40 authors of whom were different, including, listen, kings, philosophers, poets, farmers, statesmen, priests, prophets, fishermen, and scholars like the Apostle Paul. With such a variety of authorship over such a long period, one might expect the result to be a book that was no more than a mixed bag of ideas and inconsistencies. Instead, listen, the Bible has a wonderful unity from Genesis to Revelation as it unfolds the single theme of God's plan of redemption. So there is an amazing unity, and we're not even speaking about the survival of the Bible. People throughout history have tried to stamp out the Bible. I've told you about Voltaire, who wanted to eliminate the Bible, and he, on his deathbed, he said the Bible will be gone in 100 years, and they bought his house and made it a Bible bookstore. Ladies and gentlemen, all throughout history, there have been those who hated the Bible and have tried to stamp out the Bible, but can I tell you, it is the absolute, by millions of copies, by gazillions of copies, if that's a true word measure of mathematics, Karen, I don't know, but if it is, gazillions of times, it is the number one bestseller ever, okay? So it survived. Dr. Chuck Lawless says this. Now listen, this is the key statement I want you to hear. Jesus Christ is both the cornerstone and the head of the church. We know that from the book of Ephesians. But listen to this. But it is through the scriptures that we know him. Proverbs 17:13 says this, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart." In Matthew it says this, "Listen, folks, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, and verse 17 says this, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So I have 2 points in the message, and then I'm going to give you some practical things quickly. Number one, we teach what is supernatural. Now, it's in our DNA, church family, that we are a teaching body. We teach the Bible. Please tell me if you're in any group ever in this church that doesn't teach the Bible. If somebody's teaching, if somebody's opening Reader's Digest and reading something to you, somebody's got something out reading it to you and all this, that is not what we're all about. Now, there are great tools that launch us into the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. But the text of our study in this place is the Bible. Okay? Now, what we teach is supernatural. Verse 16, it says, "All scripture," and it means every word. It's the word graphe, graphic. We got graphic designers, you know, they take pencils and they're able to design. That word graphe, it has the idea of every word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. Now listen to this. It's true that all the words of Scripture inspire us. I'm not taking away from that. That's true. But that's not what this is saying at this place. It's not that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning that all Scripture will inspire us. That's taught in other places. What is taught right here is that, listen, every word of the Scripture is inherently inspired. It is breathed by God. His character is in the Scripture. The Scripture owes its origin, listen, and distinctiveness to God himself. This is the most unique book. Kelly's dad was my college Sunday school teacher, and he used to say this all the time. This is the only book you can read and talk to the author at the same time. Amen. Amen. Hey, look, that rang my bell. Man, I can read other books, but this book, with the Holy Spirit's help, you can read it, and then you can talk to the author about it right then. Amen. Pretty amazing, isn't it? It's supernatural. It's God-breathed. Now listen, Peter put it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. He said, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." You say, "Well, John wrote that. It may be wrong." Oh, no. God wrote that through John. See, men of God were moved by God. John saw a vision in Revelation. You say, how did he just made that up? No, he saw a vision. God, the Holy Spirit, is writing that through John, okay? So holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This book is amazing. By the way, at the end of the sermon, I'm going to tell you about some special Bibles right here. Is your Bible special? Woo! Take care of your Bible. I've got one that's about wore out right now. This is the one I got when I started pastoring here, and I made a mistake, and I got a cheaper cover. Now, if you have the cheapest cover, that's fine. But I know this, there are things I spend money on that I want the very best. And I got to think about this. Why buy a cheap cover? And I've actually had Bibles recovered. A great Bible is like an old friend. Man, you put notes in there, you remember. There, I get a hold of one of your Bibles. I say, let me borrow your Bible. And I look at that thing and I, where is everything? But if you give me mine, it flips to special places, quotes. I can take my hand and go like this and it'll go right to a certain place. Because it's something that I'm familiar with, you see. So take care of your Bible. But I'm going to share with you about some special Bibles here in just a second. Number two, quickly, we teach what is transformational. In our passage, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The word profitable means beneficial. It means useful. God's word is useful for these reasons, for these four things that we find in the scripture. For doctrine, there was much heresy in the church. The scripture was sound for foundational teachings. Such doctrine as creation. You want to know about how the world came into being? You need to go to the scripture. For creation, the fall of man. Hey, judge every religion based upon how they explain the depravity of man. Nancy Piercy, in her book Total Truth, she says you take every philosophy of life and you ask them, how do you explain man's bent for evil? And find an answer from them of why they believe that. The Word of God gives you answers about the fall of man, the nature of the atonement. Jesus Christ dying on the cross, what does that mean? We find that all of the doctrinal things you need to know are found in the Scripture. So it's profitable, it's useful for us. This is why we study it, for doctrine, for reproof. Now these are errors and false teaching and personal errors. These are the times when the Bible hits you upside the head. In the old days, people would say, well, I got my toes stepped on today. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all go home and y'all talk about, you know, y'all have roast preacher for lunch. I know what y'all do. But no, you go home and you say, man, the preacher stepped on my toes today. Well, hopefully I want it to be that God steps on your toes. The Word of God is like a hammer. And the Bible says in James, it's like a mirror. You looked at the mirror this morning. I looked at my mirror. I tried to do everything I could do to make it look right. I did the best I could. I don't know how I did, but I did the best. Don't answer that, by the way. I did the best I could. But, you know, we look in the mirror and it tells us where we're out of bounds. So that's reproof. If you are a follower of Jesus, you expect the Bible to correct you. That's what it does. It's profitable for that. But then it says for doctrine, for proof, and then it says correction. Correction, that has the idea that it brings you back to the right place. See, the Bible does not condemn you and leave you there. The Bible does not treat you that way. The Bible says, okay, look, here's where you're out of bounds, but let me show you how you can get back. This is called correction. That word correction is one means God uses in order to restore people to spiritual positions they have forfeited. So we are to be restored. If you know what I'm talking about with the three circles illustration, we have God's design, we have brokenness that's a result of sin. Jesus gave us the gospel. He died on the cross. And then what do we do in the Christian life? We recover and pursue God's design again. You say, man, I really messed up a marriage. You say, I really messed up a marriage. Well, you know what? We live in a broken world. Let me tell you what the gospel does. The gospel will let you start right where you are, and then you can pursue God's design again. You can say, look, all this was in the past, but now I'm going to pursue God's design. Don't make the same mistake twice. In other words, you go after God's design. And so this is correction. In Colossians 1:28, it says this, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean perfection in the way you live. It means complete, that you may be completed. In other words, you have everything you need to live the Christian life. And so it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. The word instruction there means moral training that leads to righteousness. It's the idea of discipline. It's the idea of training. It's the same word that's used in Ephesians that says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We train our children. We bring them up in training. This is what God's Word does for us. It trains us. It helps us to be in a be disciplined in our growth. Scripture leads to a holy lifestyle, okay? So the man of God, it says in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, church, look at me. Everything you need to be who God has called you to be in this world is found right here. That's what the scripture is saying, that you may be thoroughly complete and that you may be equipped for every good work. In other words, you're furnished. The reason it's in our DNA, the reason it's a dominant gene in our church to study the Bible is because the Bible is what changes us. And the Bible is what tells us how to fulfill our assignment. What's your assignment? You're a husband. Go to the Bible. You're a wife. Go to the Bible. You're a parent. Go to the Bible. You're a grandparent. Hey, I are one. You're a grandparent. You don't see pictures? I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm a grandparent. Okay. You're a teacher. Listen, maybe the Lord is speaking to you about a witness at work. The Bible will equip you. Maybe you're at the University of Florida or Santa Fe College, and God is speaking to you about making an impact for Him there. The Lord will equip you. Maybe God's called you to missions. Hey, whatever it is, you will be furnished for what you need through the Word, and that's why we study the Bible. So it's in our DNA, folks, I'm telling you. If you don't like studying the Bible, I hope you don't like it here. Because we're going to study the Bible. Now, we're not going to make it boring. You know, one of my goals, I ask our young people all the time, our college, I said, do I bore y'all? And I'm trying my best. There's some of y'all I got targeted. Y'all sleep through my sermons. I'm doing the best I can. That's why every once in a while when I go like this, I'm seeing one of y'all doze. And it's my goal in life that nobody sleeps through a sermon I preach. I don't want to be boring because this is the most exciting content you could ever share. Now, so whatever your assignment is, the Bible furnishes you to get that done. Now, we got to hurry. I'm just going to tell you some practical ways, and I want you to fill them in on your listening guide. We're going to rip through this pretty quick. Number one, we're to hear the Bible. That's the first point, hear. You're doing that right now. You're following along one of the things you're supposed to do. You're to hear the Bible. Hey, by the way, online you've got so many resources. Oh, my goodness. And by the way, you've also got some idiot people online. I just needed to say that. If you want to know who to listen to, I'll be glad to help you. I'm not saying I know everybody that's good, but ask Matt Seitz, ask Chris, ask our leaders here, ask me, one of our deacons. I mean, if you get hooked into something online that's goofball, you need to get some help and get on the right one. But there's so much great things you can hear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're to hear it. We're also to read it. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." We're to read the Word of God. There's some great Bible reading plans. I don't have it in this Bible, but in one of my Ryrie study Bibles, there's a through-the-year plan. You can get on a through-the-year plan. There's a lot of our people that are on that, and they read through the Bible every year. And it's a reading. You're to read the Scripture. The third thing, you're to study the Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. The be diligent is the study, okay? We're to study God's word. That's why we do that in life groups. Folks, everybody in here ought to be in a life group. Not just because the church wants you in a life group. Now, we do want you in one. I'm being honest with you. Get in one. But there's a reason to get in one. The reason is they study the Scripture in a community together. And they can say, hey, how have you applied this Scripture? And the teacher gives some ideas of ways that can be applied in your life. And we've got life groups for all lifestyles and in terms of life stages. We've got the nearly wed, newly wed class. Robert teaches that. If you're almost about to get married, you may be hopeful. No, I'm just kidding. You got to be engaged. You get engaged, get in Robert's class. We've got folks that have been married, you know, less than a year. We've got some that have been married a little bit longer. They're in that class, and they're studying things that will help them in that way. We've got young adult groups, both single and married adult groups. Hey, we've got a young pros class. We call it young pros. Chad Rollins is teaching the young pros. This is a group right out of college, and they're single, and they're not quite ready for the young adult group. There's that little spot's a special spot, man. Great people, amazing opportunities in reaching people, and this group is expanding. We just moved them recently to the fellowship hall. They can get up to 50 in there. Chad, can you get that done by next week, man? But anyway, that's exciting. You see what I'm saying? So all of these classes are designed to study. And then we're to memorize quickly. Memorize Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have a story to tell you about scripture memory. I'm going to tell you later, but I'm just going to tell you this one, right, this thing right here. Literally, scripture memory helped me write a doctoral dissertation. I promise you. And I can tell you the story. I was in Cedar Key, Florida. Well, I don't have time to tell you the story. I'll tell you later. You mark that one down, okay? Memorize, then meditate. Psalm 1, verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night." We are to think about the perimeter of the verse. We are to concentrate on the message of the verse, and we meditate on the verse. That just means you keep coming back to it. You just keep coming back to that verse and asking God to show you. And then here's the kicker, because listen now, this is important. In our dominant gene of teaching, the real gene is this: teaching to observe. If you notice in the Great Commission, Jesus said, "Go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Then he said this, Holy Spirit. Then he said this: teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. It's not just a knowledge thing, it's an obedience thing. So teaching in our DNA involves teaching to observe. So here's the blank: apply. The last blank is the word apply. We are to apply God's word. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success." James 1:22 says this: "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." God's word, it's inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This means the God of the universe has breathed into these words right here. Amen. These are on a shelf at my house. This is my mother's Bible. My mom went to heaven in 1994. This is a Bible that my sister and I gave to her on her birthday in 1976. October the 26th, 1976. Our mother, because God gave you to us, it's faded, I'm trying to read it. "Because God gave you to us, and because we love you so much, Calvin and Nell and Ken, Laurie and David," that was her children. I was not married at the time. And so that's my mom's Bible. Boy, Bibles are amazing, aren't they? They're special. You know, you think about it. My father, I talked some about my dad. My dad was in World War II, and my dad left World War II, got out of the military, went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I've always had a soft place in my heart for the Tar Heels. I love that baby blue because my dad went there. First of all, I probably couldn't have gotten in there, actually. That's a tough place to go academically. Look at this Bible right here. I have this at my, the cover's coming off right here. But it says, presented to C.J. Carr Jr., that's my dad, by, you ready for this? The University of North Carolina. June the 5th, 1950. The university gave my dad that Bible. This Bible, when I was a youth pastor, my mentor was a man named Homer Lindsay Jr. One day I was having lunch at the Jacksonville Landing, and I got a page on a beeper. Some of y'all don't even know what a beeper is. Anyway, I called back, and my secretary said, Dr. Lindsay wants to see you. Well, whenever that happened, you moved. You went, okay? So me and two other young guys on the staff were summoned to his office, and we sat down, and whenever you went in there, you were always nervous. I don't know why, but you just were. But anyway, you're always nervous. And he sat us down. He said, guys, he said, when I came to First Baptist in 1969, he said, I bought three Scofield reference Bibles, wide margins. And I started preaching through these Bibles. And he said, I started thinking about you guys. It was me and one other guy. The other guy couldn't be there. He's with his son at a doctor's appointment. So it's just me and one other guy, but he had three Bibles. He said, I was thinking about you guys, and you guys are my preacher boys. That's the way he said it to us. And he said, I started thinking about, I'm getting older, and I just wondered who I want to have these Bibles. And he said, I want y'all to have them. So I went and had my assistant type this little note up right here that I keep in this Bible. And I signed it at the bottom. And it's just a description of what happened that day, so I'd never forget. Hey, look, this Bible, man, God's Word is infused with the power of Almighty God. Hey, this is when he preached through Romans. Let me show you something here. Okay. All right, let me show you this. This is Romans in Dr. Lindsay's preaching Bible. And page after page, I can't hold it right. Just page after page of notes. Hey, listen. When I preached through Romans, do you think I looked at that? You better believe it. Hey, let me say this. It's in our DNA. To study the Bible. We are to be teaching people to observe all things that God has commanded us. I don't know what it is that God has given you to do. Some of you are Bible teachers in our church. Some of you work with our children. Some of you are involved in ministries outside of the direct ministry here of like a class or something. But whatever it is, let me tell you one thing to never forget. The Bible is supernatural.
Yes, it is.
And it will equip you like nothing else to do what God has called you to do. When I've got five children. Kelly and I, when we started having kids, we didn't know how to be parents. We had models in our life. But we got on our knees and we dedicated every one of them to the Lord. And we said, Lord, help us. Now, we hadn't done everything right. We'd done a lot of things wrong. I know more about it now than I did then. Trust me. But God gave me the assurance that if I would get into his word, he'd give me everything I need. And can I tell you this? He'll do that for you. But you got to study it. You got to cherish it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God breathed. Now, some of you are experts in all kinds of sports memorabilia and sports memories, and you got phone numbers memorized of girlfriends and boyfriends and addresses memorized. You've got all kinds of stuff memorized. I tell you one thing, there is nothing you could set your mind on that would do you any better good than to set your mind on the Bible. The Holy Word of God. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.